Let our young people slip out to their worship service. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 is our text today. Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. After we have our scripture, then the Rices are going to come. Lots been going on in the Rices' life lately. Bless their heart. They still got a lot going on in your life, right? God is good. Self-inflicted. That's a good way to put it. They just sold their home, and they're not moving anywhere, off anywhere, thank goodness. But they sold their home. They're now living in an apartment, but they're in the process of building a home. And I've always been told if you've ever built a home, you need prayer. All right? So there's a lot of stress in there that goes on. But, you know, we love the Rices and pray for them as they go through this. But I know they're exciting days ahead for them. But after we read our scripture, if you'll stand with me, they're going to come and sing for us. All right? Galatians chapter 6, if you're able to stand, just two verses. The Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we have therefore, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." We're going to speak on the messages. We've been sharing a series of messages on looking up. Today's title is Looking Up with Determination. Looking Up with Determination. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God today that we've read. We know, Father, you have blessed it already. We pray now that you would just continue to guide and direct in this message. Lord, that you would, Lord, just speak to our hearts. I know, Father, that you have given me the liberty to preach because of the prayers of God's people. And, Lord, I thank you for those who pray. And, Lord, right now, I pray that you'll just give us the liberty to respond to the movement of the Holy Spirit among us. If there is one in our midst, Lord, that is not saved, that they would be saved today. Lord, help us to leave here truly excited that we came into your house. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. And that's what it takes, doesn't it, to listen to that still small voice of God or movement of God in our life. Thank you. Appreciate that message and song by the Rices. Psalm 5:3 says, "My voice," the psalmist David said, "my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." Over the last several weeks, we've used this psalm to remind us of the importance of looking up to God. Now, we've talked about looking up in confidence a few weeks ago. We talked about looking up with encouragement. We've talked about last week looking up for vision. And today I want to consider looking up with determination. Determination. Now, Webster defines determination as the act of deciding definitely and firmly, meaning to have a firm or fixed intention to achieve a desired end. Determination is really an important characteristic in our life. Obviously, it takes determination to do most anything that we set out to do in life. It doesn't matter what your occupation is. But it takes a lot of determination, does it not, to succeed? It is what keeps us going when we'd rather sometimes give up. Determination keeps us from quitting a demanding job or giving up on a marriage that can be fragile. You see, determination helps us to endure life's storms. It also helps us in battling those enticing temptations, which I'm sure, if we're all honest, we all face from time to time. But determination helps us to know, with God's help, that, hey, we don't have to give in to the temptations that Satan brings in our life. Determination helps us to persevere through those terrible trials that we all face from time to time. And it will, no doubt, this year if we are determined to
allow that to take place in our life. But none of us can get through life without having it. Would you agree with that? Say amen. We need determination. Now, this is certainly true when it comes to a believer. You know, living your life for the Lord requires determination. As I've said in weeks past, living the Christian life is not always easy. We know that to be the case. But even in the Christian life, with all the help that we have, with God as our source of strength, God still expects us to have that determination to get through each day with His help. March 8, 1971 was a tragic day in the life of Tim Lee. After joining the Marines and being sent to serve a tour of duty in Vietnam, orders were received from the Marines for Tim Lee to take his men on a mine sweep. He decided that day, he didn't have to because he was in charge. He could have put one of the guys that were below him in to be the point man. But he decided that day to be the front man of the formation. They later stopped for lunch to have a little meal. And one of the guys came along and said to Tim that he would be glad to take over being the front man and lead the formation. But Tim, not trying to be a hero, said, "No, I'll do it the rest of the day. You could take over tomorrow." A little over an hour in the walk, Tim later stepped on what was called a 60-pound box mine. And of course, it changed his life that day. Tim lost consciousness for a while. And after Tim regained consciousness, the young man who had came to him at lunch and said he would take the lead of the platoon was the very man who was holding Tim in his arms. And this young man had tears running down his face, and he was praying for Tim and asking God to help him. You got to understand, before Tim joined the Marines that day that this took place, and growing up, Tim was a rebellious young man. He was raised up in a minister's home. His dad was a preacher. And Tim became very rebellious and ran from God and decided that he was going to join the Marines. And he did. And of course, not knowing that his life was going to be changed, on that day, Tim lost both of his legs. But after 13 major operations were performed, Tim went from being out of God's will to now, today, serving as one of the great evangelists, a preacher. I've heard Tim Lee preach many times, personally. If Tim was to preach here today, he would come in not being rolled in, but you would see him. He's very energetic. Man, he would come wheel himself in here on his wheelchair, and he wouldn't need any help getting up here on the platform. Tim would jump out of that wheelchair, I mean literally jump out, and he would just make his way up on the platform, and he would preach away. And man, what a preacher he is. I'm glad that day that Tim didn't give up, that Tim didn't quit, but Tim had something that it takes to carry on in life whenever you have setbacks in life. And Tim had determination. Tim had determination to go on. Now, of course, also what Tim had behind him, he had the prayers of his mom and dad. He had the prayers of this young man that was holding him in his arms. And Tim, from that day forward, he would tell you in his testimony that the very legs that took him out of God's will were the very legs that God removed to put him back into God's will. You see, it takes determination to serve the Lord. And thank the Lord, not all of us have to go through what Tim Lee has went through and others who went through, but yet if we had to go through whatever many have faced in this life to make it, would we have the same kind of determination? Well, it would take what Tim had to have, and that would be to look up to God for determination. You see, the work we're doing today is too important to leave undone. The work that we all have and put in charge to do here upon the face of the earth till Jesus comes is that we have something to accomplish. And that is, like Tim, he had the mindset that now God had called him into ministry, and his desire was to see souls that were turned around for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the eternal souls of men and women and boys and girls, they hang in the balance today. They really do. Not only here in America, but at home around the world. You see, this morning I want us to look up to the Lord for the determination to serve Him and not give up. Give you a few things to think about as we go back to our text this morning. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul writes, "And let us not be weary, that is, lose heart in well-doing. For in due season, due time, we shall reap if we faint not." You know, we need to look up with the determination that God says He's given us to look up to for His strength that is always available. Look up, His strength is available. You see, let us not be weary. How many here, and I know the answer to this, you don't have to raise your hand, but it's kind of one of these rhetorical questions, I guess, but how many of you have ever been tired or weary, all right? I know the answer. And if you didn't raise your hand on that, you wouldn't be honest, right? We all get tired. We all get weary. I already know the answer, so I don't have to ask you to raise your hand to that. In life, you know, raising kids sometimes will make you a little tired, won't it? Weary. I hate to use kids as an example, but you listen, we've raised four kids and we love them to death, but you know what? You mamas that have to stay at home, and that, don't let it be said that you don't have a job. You've got a full-time job. And I appreciate moms who are able to do that, because it is a job. Now, I realize, you know, there are other things that sometimes that come in our life that make us weary and tired. Someone said it is bad enough to be in a rat race, but sometimes it seems like the rats are winning. You ever heard that? You ever feel that way? That's the way life is. You know, we live in a society that is moving at such a rapid pace today that weariness is the rule and not the exception. Unfortunately, this applies to our walk with God. I get tired. I'm honest. I get tired sometimes. You get tired. We all do from time to time. Sometimes, if not careful, reading our Bibles and praying, giving our tithes and offerings, being faithful to the services, and helping in ministry, and all of these things, and this year is no exception, we're going to find from time to time that we're going to become weary. Now, I'm not sharing that with you this morning like it's something new that you don't already know, but we will. And we'll become weary. The word weary in this passage in verse 9 means to be weak or to fail, maybe lose heart. The Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he said this, "Let us not be weary." Now, the understanding of weary, what goes with that is the idea of being discouraged or being despondent. Matter of fact, if you look those three words up, they're almost identical when they're defined in the dictionary. That is that each one is defined very similar. That is to be weary, to be discouraged, to be despondent. So how can this be possible in this world, you might say, in which we live, not to grow weary? Well, God understands we will grow weary, but God doesn't expect us to stay in our weariness. God doesn't expect us to live there, because God has provided something that believers have that really a lot of lost people don't have. And that is, there is strength that is available. especially, as I said, to believers. God gives strength for the task. God does. You know, how does that mom with those that special needs child make it through every day? You know, I drive a school bus, and I have a couple of kids on my bus that are considered what's called special needs. And they have things that obviously that requires a little more attention at home than maybe another child, because they have some issues they have to deal with. And parents that have special needs children understand that. It may be someone with autism or some other problem that obviously many of us, it would take determination, would it not, to be able to raise a child that is born like that. But you know what? They're not any different than we are. They're God's creation, as we all are all God's creation. I used to drive what was called a special needs bus, not full-time, but I used to drive a special needs bus on a sub-basis, and it was one of the greatest joys I had. I'd always leave there smiling. Now, I drive a regular route, but boy, whenever they asked me to fill in for that special needs bus, I'd always raise my hand. I'd love doing it, because special needs children had a way of making you smile. They had a way of just encouraging you in some ways. But you know what? Not every day is like that, I'm sure, in their life. And a parent who has a child with special needs. But, you know, how do they get through it? Well, God gives them the strength for the task that is set before them, because God has placed them in their home to raise and to nurture and to admonition of the Lord, just like any child. You know, God gives us strength that's available for the task. God gives us strength for every trial that we face. How are we going to make it, some might ask, through this trial that I'm faced with? And it may be something you're not aware of yet. I was at the hospital visiting this week, and I came out of the hospital scratching my head thinking, wow, this place was packed full today. I was in the emergency room, and this place was packed full of people just standing in line and waiting. Now, granted, some people may be there just because, you know, it was something that wasn't of serious nature like some others, but, you know, that's a trial in folks' life. You know, you spend a time at the hospital or with a child or a loved one, that becomes a trial. How do you make it through that? How are you going to make it? Well, we look up, right? We look up with determination that God gives us for the task and also for the trial that we face with. God gives strength. God strengthens us for the day. Why? Because God's strength is available. God's strength is available. We know that because of what God says in a few passages. First of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. You may have to claim these. Be good to write them down. Listen, you may need them this year sometime. It may be something that's good to memorize. And I would challenge you to memorize verses like this that I'm going to share with you. Because I guarantee you, if you don't need it in your life, God's going to bring somebody in your path that they're going to need to hear something that would maybe give them encouragement. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9 said, Paul said, and he said unto them, me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, what Paul was saying, the power of Christ in his life was more important than the freedom from pain. And we know that whenever we're going through pain, right? You know, we go through pain and we know eventually we can get over it, but we need that power of Christ to give us the strength to get through it. That's what Paul is saying there in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And also in Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, many of us know that one already. That's not a hard one to learn, is it? I'm sure some of you have quoted that from time to time when you're going through that tough time in your life. It's going to take determination. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You know, we can. But you know what? When we have to really act it out or the better word to say, apply that, it's not always easy. It's good to have folks praying for us, isn't it? To have that determination. We need to look up with determination because God's strength is available. Secondly, we look up with determination because our service is expected. You know, God expects us, even like Paul was saying, that the times will be tough in life and serving God is going to be tough, but that doesn't mean we throw in the towel and we quit on God. Listen, we have to serve God because God expects us to serve. And I'm thankful for those of you that are here today. But you know what? In a room this size, as I've said many times before, in a setting this size, sadly, this year, the devil's going to look who he can grab a hold of this year and to grab a hold of them enough to pull them out of the service of God. As we find in every church. That doesn't mean God has forgotten about us. But God expects us to serve. He says, in well-doing, back in verse 9 of Galatians 6. He said, let us not be weary in what? In well-doing. Our service is expected. Now, well-doing or doing well, are they the same? I don't believe they are. Because, you see, God has called us to well-doing, right? Not doing well. Now, most of us put our efforts in doing well. By that, I say sometimes just to do enough to get by. And I have been guilty of that sometimes. I'm sure you have. I mean, sometimes we're guilty of that in a marriage. Sometimes we're guilty of that in, raising our children or we're guilty of that in working in our jobs or whatever, or serving the Lord. You know, we do enough just to say, boy, I did it. Sometimes we do that when it comes to church. I read my Bible today. I prayed. I did enough. All right? Come on, preacher. You don't keep hounding me about that. Listen, I'm not. It may be the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want us just to do enough just to get by. They say God wants us not to just do well because God wants us to be well-doing. God is not interested, by the way, in fine cars. God's not interested in nice homes or designer clothes. God's not impressed with our buildings or our budgets. Some will say, if you've had these things, boy, you must be doing well. Boy, you're driving a nice vehicle, or you live in a nice home, you dress nice or whatever, you must be doing well. And that doesn't necessarily mean anything, does it? You know, if the world says that, I mean, that's fine if you have these things and obviously can put God in the right place. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what? God don't want us just to be doing well, but God wants us to be well-doing. You see, the Lord lets us know what He's interested in. Look in verse 1. God's interested in, first of all, restoring the fallen. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that is caught in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual. Restore, that's our next role, you that are spiritual. God's not looking for the ungodly. God's not looking for those who are not serving God. God's looking for those who are spiritual. And by that, I don't mean you've got a halo over your head and you're perfect and boy, you got everything right. We're not that way. But God is looking for those who are striving to serve the Lord and have God in the rightful place of your life. And you know what? You'll be the very one God uses sometimes to be there when somebody just needs that determination to keep going. He says, brethren, speaking to believers, if a man, generically, man or woman, be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, our role is to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So the Lord is interested in restoring the fallen. Aren't you glad for that? I mean, it says in that verse, because we may find ourselves as the very one that needs to be restored. Some of you have been like that, maybe. Maybe somebody came along and helped to restore you in your walk with God to show you how to have that determination because they were spiritual in their walk with God. So what does that mean? We need to maintain our spiritual walk with God daily, so that we can be used as restorers in the kingdom of God. Verse 2, God is interested in sharing burdens. Look in verse 2. He says, bear you one another's burdens. Oh, listen, I don't need that on me, preacher. I don't need to carry anybody's burdens. I don't need to know about people's problems. I don't really want that extra load in my life. You ever find yourself doing that sometimes, that you try to avoid problems? Now, I'm not looking for problems, but I sure don't want to, you know, take on anybody's problems, you know. But sometimes in a Christian life, that's going to be part of it. Not that we have to take them on so we can fix them. Most times we can't. But there's one thing we can do, and that is to be there to pray for them, to encourage them. That's what he says in verse 2. Look in verse 2 again. We're to share our burdens. Bear you one another's burdens. That is to help carry the load and so fulfill the law of the Christ. So that, you know, we all have our own burdens. But you know what? When we can help carry the load from somebody else, it sure helps them to have that determination to carry on, right? Then notice verse 6. God is interested not only restoring the fallen in verse 1 and sharing the burdens that we're to help carry the load, but verse 6, we're to help meet the needs of God's servants, like we see with our missionaries and all that we've shared with you this morning. He said, verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate, that is, share unto him that teacheth in all good things. So we're to share sometimes our material things, our one is finances, as we've done, we shared with our missionaries. So we, you know, I know some would say, well, we've got enough to do here at our home base. Why worry about people around the world? Because God says that's our commission. We're not only in Acts 1:8 to share the gospel to our local community and our surrounding areas, but around the world. If we're going to fulfill God's commission for the church, then that involves sending missionaries out, not just to pray for them, but to financially support them, because they're helping to communicate the gospel. I mean, unless you're willing to go to places like the Philippines or Turkey, unless you're willing to go to places like Africa, Mexico, then you know what? We need to help send them. And one of the ways that we help send them is financially support them. And that's what Paul is addressing to you. God is interested in meeting the needs of God's servants. How does he do that? Through the local church. Another thing is we find God is interested in is found in verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. That is, ministering to others. So God is interested in restoring the fallen. God is interested in sharing our burdens with one another, meeting the needs of God's servants, and also ministering to others. And you know what? From time to time, we have people that comes in our church. Brother Johnny shared, I think, last Sunday night, just kind of introduced a little bit of something that maybe some folks in his class have thought about, and having a needs list. You know, having something posted, and we're not going to announce anything right now. They're still working on, but a needs list. If you have a need, something that comes about, and then and that somebody in the church can maybe help meet. You know, you're trying to get rid of an old refrigerator that still works, but yet, you know, you bought a new one, whatever, but somebody could use that. That's a needs list, something like that. That, you know, because believe it or not, there are some folks that, like my daughter, when they started out and got married, and I'm sure all of us have done this, boy, they didn't have anything, and they still don't have a lot. But boy, it was good that somebody gave them a washer or a dryer or whatever. And I mean, it was old, about wore out. But boy, they're enjoying every bit of it. They don't have to, you know, wash it by hand like some of you may have did years ago. Listen, you can appreciate things like that. I'm ministering to others. And I just use that as an example. There are obviously other ways that we minister. Yes, sometimes not just in material things, but other ways that we minister to others. Well-doing. You see, well-doing isn't just activity, but it is that which is worthy. You know, we can be busy at wrong things, can't we? I guarantee you, if we allow the devil time in our life, there's a lot of wrong things he's going to interject in our life on a daily basis. And young people, listen to this. The devil is waiting to introduce to you some things that he would try to pretty it up and doctor it up and dress it up and make it look nice and clean and whatever, but it may very well be something that's not for you. Something that would be wrong. If not careful this year, we may stop looking up, and we may find ourselves at just doing well by being busy at the wrong things. By being busy at the wrong things. So as believers, we've got to constantly, listen, we've got to constantly check our focus, don't we? We'll constantly check our focus and make sure it's where it needs to be. To make sure that as we focus in, that we're not focusing on the wrong things of life, but we're focusing on the things that obviously are going to help us to do that which is well-doing for the honor and glory of the Lord. We're not saved by good works, but the lives of those who are saved are expected to be characterized by good works. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before whom? Before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, people often look for the bad, and often that stands out, doesn't it? There's enough bad. Turn on your news channel. There's enough out there that where people can find enough bad. But, boy, when you see something good, don't you like to read good stories of people that do good things in life? I mean, shared with you a little bit about Tim Lee. And, boy, his life was didn't start out well, but boy, when he turned his life around and was determined to live for God, and now he's preaching, many people have come to know Christ as a result of him surrendering and not giving up, and he could have easily given up, but he was determined to keep going. Boy, that's exciting. Doing well. Well doing for God. You know, making something count for God, that others, when they look at your life, they see not the wrong things, but the things that are well doing for God. Our purpose is to glorify God. When we lose sight of that, that's when we get a little discouraged. That's when we become weary in our walk with God. That's when we find ourselves doing well instead of well-doing. So as we look to God for determination, then we need to know that real success is anticipated. Number three, real success is anticipated. What does he say back in our text in verse 9, Galatians 6:9? He says, "For in due season," what? "We shall do what? We shall reap. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Our problem is that sometimes we look for the self-gratification. The instant gratification. Want it now. Don't have time to wait on you, God. I mean, really, I want it now. As I've said before, and there's times I found myself, we live in an express lane of life. I've been out to California a few times, and we got a family back here just moving from California. And now I love driving out there. I really do. I know that's a little unusual. I don't like getting in the traffic, but boy, they've got these express lanes. And that's what I like driving in. I don't do a lot of the driving. I usually go with a couple of preachers, and they do the driving. But boy, they get in the express lanes, and you can go. And you can get where you're going. You know, because I'm one of those, many of you like that, you want to get where you're going, right? With being safe and obviously obeying the laws. We want to do that. We want the instant potatoes sometimes. We want the concentrated orange juice. We don't have to. How many of you used to squeeze the orange juice? All right, come on. Listen, you had to squeeze the orange juice, make orange juice. When I worked at Chick-fil-A, I don't know if they still do this. I believe they do still. They have good, fresh, squeezed lemonade. You hear them say that? And the reason is it is fresh squeezed. I remember one of my jobs every day was to make lemonade. And I would have to take a whole case of lemons, cut them in half, and we had a machine. You put it up there, and it squeezed the juice out. But you had to hold it the whole time. Just, that was my job. I love their lemonade, but I didn't like what you had to do to make lemonade. You know? But it sure tastes a whole lot better than that instant stuff you can buy, doesn't it? You know, we look for that instant gratification. You know, God doesn't operate that way. We know that. God's not on our timetable. As a matter of fact, time is meaningless to God. One day in heaven is going to be like 1,000 years. Listen, you know, God's not on our timetable. God's eternal. One thing I told Brother Dave when I came in here, make sure you set that clock up there. Not that I'm worried about time, It's just, I know in the next few minutes, if I don't hush, some of you are going to be looking at your watch. Because, you know, that's the way we are. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Dave. So I got 50 more minutes. But you know what? God, aren't you glad God's not like that, though? Listen, 24 hours doesn't mean anything to God. We sit around and we wait, but yet we're not patient to wait on God to work sometimes, and that's where we get in trouble. Tim Lee had to wait on God. Tim Lee went through 13 major surgeries in his life. Not in one day's time, but over a period of years. He had to wait. And you know, sometimes when you're in a position like Tim Lee was, there's no getting up and going now. Your life has changed. Our life can be changed in a moment's time. And you know what? When things take place in our life, it's going to take determination, but it's going to take looking up to God for determination. The Bible says, with God, all things are in season. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season. That is, there is an appointed time for everything. A time to every purpose or event, in other words, under heaven. God promises a harvest and we shall reap. But we decide what the harvest will be by what we sow. That which is good, that which is evil. Galatians 6, 7 and 8 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. So the law of God's harvest is simple. Number one, we will reap what we sow. That's what he says, right? We'll reap what we sow. We will reap more than we sow. And then thirdly, we will reap after we sow. So we can grow weary if we don't keep this truth in mind. It'll be easy to do. We can grow discouraged, despondent, if we don't keep this truth in mind. But real success will come because God promised it would be. It would. So the question I asked you earlier, are you tired? If not, you may find yourself feeling that way somewhere along the way. The point that God says, don't lose heart. Don't quit. Are you feeling weary? Then keep focused. You know, we're going to feel weary, but keep focused. Harvest time is coming. Praise God for that. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in what? Joy. That speaks of joyful shouting. But notice, what brings it on is by sowing tears of repentance. You see, it doesn't come by just... That joy comes after you've done sowed the tears of repentance. And sometimes that's what it takes to find that real joy. And it goes on to say, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So let us look up with determination. Some need to determine maybe today that you're going to get saved. You're going to not put it off anymore. Some may determine today, I'm going to be obedient to God in all areas of my life. I'm not going to allow Satan to point out those wrong ways to my in my life anymore for me to follow. Some may need to determine to join with us in this good work here at Fountain City Baptist Church and help carry forth the work of God. And yet some need to determine, hey, I'm not going to resign on God. I'm going to sign up. And boy, I'm going to carry forth the work that God has called me to do. God is calling us to be busy to serve God. Listen, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we what? If we faint not. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. A message that I shared with you this morning. Listen, this is a message for all of us, because all of us find ourselves from time to time are going to be weary. But you know, it's going to take God's determination with God's strength. Would you trust God for that today? Father, we thank you for these that maybe already responding from their pew or to the altar. But God, help us to leave here today Lord, with the determination that we're going to, whatever we're faced with in life, and many of us are going to be faced with things this year in our families, in our jobs, Lord, in our church, whatever, Lord, may come our way, help us to look up to you with that determination that, God, that we're going to carry on with your strength. We don't know what the task is going to be like, but God, help us to be able to fulfill the task with your strength. We don't know what the trial is going to be like that we're going to face, but God, give us the strength to face it. Lord, you promised you would. You promised it's available for the asking. And I pray, Father, that you would just use this message in our life, God, to change us in a manner that would make us better servants for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With